Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile. Also, good morning to Radio Alabama, WYEA 106.5 in my hometown that I'm so very proud of, Sylacauga, Alabama, covering all of Talladega County. Let's do the Lake 105.1. Covering the entire beautiful, boy, our second home, Lake Martin, covering the river region of Montgomery and Prattville and that entire area up there. Boy, it almost takes my breath away to think that we have come, Corey, in 17 years now. We're all over the state of Alabama, and that's just a blessing that God's bestowed upon us, and we're thankful for that. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning. Hope everybody is well this morning.
Corey Labounty, the traveler.
World traveler.
I'm telling you, known throughout the Southeast as the basketball guru, but he probably knows more high school football than anybody you know in this state. How you doing, pal?
Outstanding, Rick. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year here on the Prep Sports Report.
Only 52 weeks show of the year that I know of that goes statewide covering high school sports.
That's it. Hey, I got to give one thing before we start. I got to give a shout out. My wife is on the road. Michelle is on the road to Birmingham this morning with her good friend Lee Copeland. They're headed up there to Samford University, and the leader of the crew is Lee's daughter Bryson, and she's in the back seat telling them all what to do. So you girls be safe, and honey, I love you. Y'all be careful.
Got a shout out too to all of our listeners, you know, that listen to us 52 weeks out of the year. I know that this is the time of year that most people look forward to. Of course, we do here at PSR, and we've got every score in the state of Alabama, plus Dalt will have every score in the Biloxi Gulfport area, and Northwest Florida, anything you need, we've got it here. You can reach us on the CNC communication lines at 251-343-0106. Now, you can text us every hour. You can and Twitter, Corey. Who knows Twitter? Let's do it.
On Twitter, we're at PSR_1065, and you can find us on Facebook, Prep Sports Report 1065.
Gotta love those social media outlets. Make sure you reach out. I'm at CA Labounty. Always love to hear your input on high school athletics.
And I'm at Coach Cleve. At Coach Cleve. So that's kind of where we are. Guys, and Mark is just
I've got one, but I already know what the handle is. All right. Is it a handle? Is that what it's called?
No. That's it.
You know, and we need to open up the show and just very briefly give you our take on Daphne Spanish Fort and the situation that took place. And our position here is there was just a doggone mistake made, and the head football coach there, Kenny King, is the athletic director. He took full responsibility for the incident that took place. They played an ineligible player, a young man transferred at mid-year. And the rule is this, and I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand the rule. Here's the rule. When you transfer at mid-year, you can practice with your team. You can compete with your team within the team. In other words, you can compete against each other on your team. But you cannot compete against another team during that school year. Now, the first day that school year ends, for example, if the school year ends on May the 28th, then if the following Monday is June 1st, whatever, then that young man can compete in 7-on-7. With his team against other teams. However, he cannot play in a regular season game until the first day of school of the incoming of the next school year. And that's where the violation occurred. The young man in question, who is a fine young man, know him well. The young man played in the spring game against, I think, McGill.
Correct.
So that made him ineligible, and he would have to sit out probably just the one opening season game. I'm not sure about what the penalty would be, but I can tell you that that's where the penalty occurred. Some people on social media have gone haywire that mean well but did not know the rule. So he would have been eligible to compete in 7-on-7 because we moved that date back to the June 1st. Just use that arbitrarily because we're thinking that school's out at the end of May. So he could have competed in 7-on-7, but he could not have played in that spring game that occurred, I think, either in April or early May.
Yes, May.
May. So that's where the infraction occurred. Oversight, overwhelmed, anything you want to use there. But Kenny King took full and complete blame for that. Let's move on. Let's move on. The young man will serve his sentence. He served it last night. He didn't get to play against Sarah Lynn. Now let's let that young man play football as Alabama High School Athletic Association has served. The penalty's been served. Let's move forward and be nothing but positive about the situation.
Is there more? Did I see where there's another? Will he be suspended for another two games?
That's not to my knowledge.
Okay.
You know, he was injured the first week.
Right.
So he did not play. He was then he played against Spanish Fort. That's where it was the ineligibility.
I got you.
Right. It just manifested itself from the spring. So yep. I don't think there is. I don't think there is at all. I don't know if there's anything else coming, but it wouldn't be surprised.
Here it is at the end of the day. Daphne defeats Spanish Fort on the field.
Right.
And it's going to be one of those asterisk games to where you know what the outcome was, but it's not going to mean anything if it comes down to a tiebreaker or win one game and get into the playoff situation in 6A Region 1. At the end of the day, Daphne and Kenny King, like you said, Rick, took full responsibility. And as athletic director, I commend him for taking full responsibility. I guarantee you this, though. Anytime something like this happens in regards to eligibility issues, it really wakes up the rest of the coaches throughout the state of Alabama to make sure they're dotting all their I's and crossing all the T's so it doesn't happen to anyone else. So not only is it a learning experience for Daphne High School and head coach Kenny King, it's also a learning experience for the rest of the coaches, not only in football, but throughout all high school athletics.
Absolutely. And we get a text message saying, anyway, we can clarify the rule. The rule couldn't be any more clear. The rule is very clear. And those of us who've been in the game, it's been a rule for Mark and I ever since we've been in coaching, and that's 40-plus years. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking me any way we can clarify the rule going forward, it is as clear as day. If you go out and see the sun, you know the sun has risen. It is that clear. So please understand that it cannot be any more clear. And, you know, it's an oversight. And we'll move on from there. So this is not a lawyer that came up with this rule. This is the high school principals that proposed this rule many, many, many years ago. And the rule is very clear. It does not take a Philadelphia lawyer to read the rule and to understand it. So that's where we are with that. So that should answer both your questions that you sent us on text. So it is very, very clear. And that's where we are. Do we have time to get a couple of scores in? Okay, let's do a couple of local scores, Corey.
All right, here we go. Last night, 7A Region 1 action. Davidson loses to Baker 43-19. Murphy, in a thriller, defeats Fairhope 26-24. Saraland beats Daphne 49-13. St. Paul's comes away with the win over Baldwin County 28-21. Blount defeats BC Rain 48-13. UMS Wright defeats the other Bulldogs 21-7, defeating Andalusia. Mobile Christian defeats Bayside Academy 49-21. Robertsdale in overtime beats Gulf Shores 28-27. Williamson blanks Clark County 6-0. Faith Academy, Jack French getting it done, 21-6 winners over LaFleur. Jackson defeats Satsuma 61-34. Centronelle defeats Greene County 7-0. St. Luke's lost to Sweetwater 51-6. Viger beats Wilcox Central 41-6. And we'll have some other scores throughout the show.
St. Paul's beat Baldwin County 28-21. Sylacauga 42. Springville 21. Sachs 50. B.B. Comer 36. And Talladega beat Childersburg 38-28.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
Yeah, we don't interrupt Walter Fagan and Walter Becker and Donald Fagan. We just don't do that on PSR. That's Steely Dan, and them and Boss Gags are kind of the guys on this show. Corey made a great point as we were leaving the air. And Corey, I want you to explain this, because you're exactly right, and it's something I should have covered, and all parents need to hear this. All coaches need to hear this. So let's go, Corey.
If a violation occurs, any type of recruiting violation or a situation to where you feel a team has played an ineligible player, it is up for the reporting school's administrator. The principal, the headmaster, must submit on a certified school letterhead to the AHSAA the infraction that they think the other school has committed. No other assistant coach or head coach from any other school in any sport across the AHSAA board will be the one who files a grievance. It must go through the principal or top administrator at the AHSAA school. So that's who it has to go through. So again, no head coach, no assistant coach, no parent. They can write a letter, but it will not be read. No. It will not be deemed as such to where that the AHSAA will recognize it. So that's a very important factor in any sport in which a violation does occur.
Absolutely. Well said, Corey. And let's make this clear, too. If Mark has a son and he's a coach, Mark is a head coach at ABC High School, and he has a question he wants to ask, and he calls the school of the Montgomery office and says, as a parent, I want to ask, they will not discuss that with you because they will not get involved in family-like situations. They only will talk to a principal. Now, they will talk to a coach about a rule. They're more than glad to talk to a coach about a rule and will explain to him what the rule is and all of that. But anything official, for example, if Mark's turns my school in. If you want to turn my school in, your principal has to write a letter turning my school in. You can't write a letter as the coach. The principal has to. Corey, that is so eloquently explained. And so the principal is a man in charge, and that is the only person that can speak to an issue through the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And that's the way it should be, Mark. That's
it should
exactly
be.
The way it should
well,
be.
Well, exactly right. And it should also be that, and I don't know how to, I'm not getting into what did or did not happen.
No, and we're not going to here.
But it ought to be like if I think something's happened at your school, Rick, I call you.
You should call me.
That's first
between
thing.
Coaches.
That's
right.
Professional
Absolutely.
Courtesy. That's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And then if things don't get rectified in a reasonable time period, then you turn, and that school has the right to turn them in.
Absolutely. That's if a coach is aware and knows without a doubt that there's a violation, then you as the coach who knows the violation occurred by my school, you should get on that phone and say, Rick, this is the rule, and you know it, so let's turn it in. Let's you do what you should do. You take care of it in your house,
that's right.
And we won't get involved in it. So that's just the way it is. And listen, I'm just I'm sorry it happened, but it happens every year. Little violations occur, and kids suffer because of it. So let's just move on and hope this young man has a great year and their team has a great year. So let's move forward with it. Corey, did you miss some scores there?
Yeah, we'll give a rundown. Yeah, yeah. Let's give a rundown of those scores once again. And it's an opportunity here to give all the scores that we have. If there's any scores that you would like to hear from, if you're unsure, if you'd like to know how your team finished, please give us a call or text us at 251-343-0106. Baker defeats Davidson 43-19. Murphy in a thriller over Fairhope 26-24. We'll be speaking with Coach Jackson later on here at the show. Saraland defeats Daphne 49-13. St. Paul's with the big win over Baldwin County 28-21. We'll be speaking with Steve Mask also, and that sets up a wonderful matchup next week between St. Paul's and Blount. Blount defeats BC Rain 48-13. UMS Wright, they're the biggest bulldog. They defeat Andalusia 21-7. Mobile Christian defeats Bayside Academy 49-21. Robertsdale defeats Gulf Shores 28-27. Williamson shuts out Clark County 6-0. Faith Academy defeats LaFleur 21-6. A basketball score for you, but it was basketball on grass last night. Jackson defeats Satsuma 61-34. Centronelle shuts out Greene County, Mississippi 7-0. Sweetwater defeats St. Luke's 51-6. Vigor gets their first win of the year, defeating Wilcox Central 41-6. Chicksaw defeats Choctaw County 46-6. Cottage Hill defeats JU Blackshear 51-7. MGM defeats Bryant 34-7. Theodore blanks Foley 34-0. Sylacauga, the Aggies get it done over Springville 42-21. A big time state score. Thompson defeats Hoover 48-30. And one that really stuck out to me, Auburn blanks Enterprise 44-0.
Was that Adam Weingarner's 100th win?
I know he's close.
I think it was his 100th. I think that was 100.
Well, he got it against a pretty doggone good football coach in Rick Darlington. I can tell you that. That's a great win for Adam, and mighty happy for him. Other scores from around the states in the Wiregrass: Abbeville 38, Cottonwood 7, Appalachian 44, Talladega County Central 6, Athens 28, Hartsell 19. Who's the best quarterback that ever played at Athens, guys?
Phillip Rivers.
Absolutely. It didn't take you long to get that one. Private schools: AISA, Bessemer Academy 38, Monroe Academy 21. Carver Montgomery 22, Russell County 14, Center Point 28, Mortimer Jordan 21. We had another incident at Center Point High School. Mark, that's the old Irwin High School. More gunshots fired.
Very unfortunate situation. But I tell you, you couldn't have been safer last night. I know I and Al Whedon did the Blount versus BC Rain game, and the metal detectors, everything went smooth. You couldn't be even more safe or feel even more safe. We'll hopefully talk to Vic Knight here a little later on, and he can give us an update on the new protocols for Ladd Peebles.
All right, Carver Montgomery, we gave that score. Center Point, we gave that score. Central Clay 34, Montford 12, Central Phoenix City 44, Smith Station 0. Chilton County, that's Clanton, 40. Shelby County, 33. And Shelby County is Columbiana, for those of you that didn't know. Clay Chalkville, 19. Park Crossing, 14. Cottage Hill, we gave that 51. JU Blackshear, 7. Deschler, 55. Elkmont, 0. Dothan, Smitty Grider gets his second win, 49. Eufaula, 38. Elba, Russ Wood, here we go. Elba, 54. Pleasant Home, 0. Flomaton, Mark. Flomaton 40, J Florida 0. Greenville 33, Tallahassee 7. Hanley of Roanoke 34, Hopeville 6. Headland 38, Booker T. Washington, Tuskegee 12. Hewitt Trustful, there's another one of Mark's former schools. Hewitt Trustful 50, Oak Mountain 13. Hillcrest Evergreen, Mark, I guess, and Mike Dean still at
Hillcrest. As far as I know, yes, he is.
They shut out. Yep. They shut out W.S. Neal last night. Hillcrest Evergreen 47, Neal 0. Hooper 17, Sparta 7 right there in Montgomery. Up in the Huntsville area, the biggest game last night was Huntsville 43, Grissom 14. Wow. Leeds, 33. Elmore County, 27. Leroy, 48. R.C. Hatch, 22. And I wonder, I would imagine they played that game on Bobby Farish Field. And while we're here, I want to mention this. We have lots of guys who volunteer to coach in the Mobile Baldwin County area and in the Sylacauga, Talladega County area and also in the River Region of Montgomery. Yesterday, UMS Wright enshrined Eddie Roberts, a volunteer at UMS Wright for probably 20-plus years. His son, Bo, was the one that introduced him. And, boy, what a moving ceremony it was. Eddie Roberts has been a volunteer coach at UMS for many years. And some of his friends were there. Bobby Farish was there, the guy who is Mr. Leroy when it comes to football, in my eyes. But it was an awesome presentation. No one deserves to be recognized any more than Eddie Roberts for all he's done for UMS Wright. But it was good to see Bobby Farish there, to see Don Jennings back there. And it's good to see Tommy Langford there, who was Mr. Murphy football for many, many years, who gave so much and continues to give to Murphy High School, just like Eddie Roberts does to UMS Wright, as well as Bobby Farish at Leroy High School. So great to see three wonderful men.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. We'll get those Mississippi scores right after we talk to Coach Steve Mask. Of course, last night, that's Kenny. It's hard for me to interrupt Kenny. I don't want to keep Steve on too long. He's probably going to go play 18 holes today. St. Paul's was down early last night. Came back. I know I got a little snippet on TV and noticed that late the girl asked Steve about being down. And he said exactly what you expect him to say. They came, erased a double digit deficit to win the game. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Rick. I'm tired. I played both ways last night.
is there ever a time that you don't play both ways? I swear, boy. That's
I took special teams off. I couldn't play those games. I played both ways.
I saw you get in on extra points, Steve. You ain't cool fooling nobody.
Yeah, I was. I'm the reason why we got the field goal block, too. So there you go.
I was eating salad. You might want to start doing some of that, too, Steve. I'm trying.
What now?
I was eating a salad after I did my duties at UMS. And
he's throwing it at you, Steve.
I'm just telling you, baby.
He's throwing it at you.
We need to meet down there and eat our salads together, okay? I'll buy. You got to stay away from your buddy's house because he's cooking right now. You know he's cooking right now, and there'll be a spread. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Lord have mercy.
If I'm cooking right now, I'm laying flat on my back in my bed. This is going to be a hell of a meal.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about our buddy. You know who our buddy is. He's cooking.
I saw him last night, too. Yeah.
That's a mistake, because then you go by and you eat at 11 o'clock at night. You know what Spence used to tell all of us? Don't eat anything after 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. But you get a double-digit deficit, and no panic. You just you do what you need to do, and talk just a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't like the idea of a double-digit being behind, I'll tell you that. But, Rick, it's 2 weeks in a row, and Mark, it says a lot about the character of this team, and that's what you look for, and that's not coach speak. We were down, against Park Crossing last week. We were behind three times in that game and came back and won it. And then last night, you're right, there wasn't any panic. We felt like we had a good plan, and we were able to do that, and got a little momentum there in the second quarter. So that part of it really felt good to me.
Coach, you, again, you score on three possessions in a row to take a 21-14 halftime lead. And you look at your quarterback, Jay Green, starting to step up and play with a lot more confidence. The offensive line doing a wonderful job of protecting him and opening up big-time holes for your monster running back, Jordan Ingram. Talk about the offensive line and the type of night that not only Jordan Ingram had, but Jay Green as well.
Well, I think it starts with the offensive line because, you know, I think we've got good size there for change. And I think they going into this week, they felt like they needed to make a statement, and they did. And to be quite honest with you, Jordan has struggled a little bit the first two games. He cramped up real bad against UMS and then didn't play great against Park Crossing, but it sure was nice to see him back last night. And Jordan seeing a grin on his face after the game, he said, "Coach, it felt like being me again." And it sure was fun to be him, to see him be him again. And Jay's has been real steady all year. I think he was like 16-23 last night, and over 170 yards and a touchdown. And last week he threw for 200 yards and three touchdowns. So he's playing really well right now, a lot of confidence. Our offensive line is doing a great job with their form.
One of the things that I know you have to be cognizant of is 6A Region 1. Each and every week is a battle. When you look at now having an opportunity to host Blount, just looking forward, I know you probably haven't had an opportunity to pop in the tape and really get a good look at them, but you see the final score of them defeating BC Rain. What pops out, and what do you think about 6A Region 1 week to week?
Tough. I mean, it's just one word to describe it. It's just tough, and you just got to go play. And no, you're right. You don't have time to look ahead at it at all. At least we don't. And we just, just try to take care of them during the week and do the best you can, preparing them from a physical standpoint. And all about this, I think this league's all about being mentally prepared as well as physically prepared, because it just, it's come at you in waves. And, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you got to try to do the best you can for a week and next, and put that behind you and go on.
Coach, who y'all got up next? Who's on the schedule? Blount. And where's that game?
It's at the home.
That ball game is going to be a humdinger, I have a feeling. I kind of saw some clips on Blount, and of course I know what you guys got, and that game is going to be something that's going to, again, test y'all's resolve and test their resolve. That ought to be one of those things that people just want to line up and watch for Friday Night Football. It doesn't get much better than that.
Well, the ice machines are going to be working, that's for sure. There's going to be some sore bodies after it's over with, but it should be fun. You know, Lev warned us all last year. He said, y'all better get us. And, you know, they're here this year, that's for sure. So, We might have got it last year, but my God, they're back this year. So he thinks very out of his team.
Boy, would you step out there and say something like that, though? Boy, you better be loaded to the brim, boy. I'm telling you.
I was coaching many years ago, and I think.
Yeah, you were coaching many years ago. You're right.
Watch it. I said something to somebody. In fact, it was John Mothershed. We all know John Mothershed. Duster, and he had a 35-0, and I was walking off the field at halftime, had my lid up on the ground. I looked at John. I said, "John, I said, I tell you what, big boy, your time's coming." He said, "Yeah, but not with that buck you got."
Steve, that's funny. When we walking off at halftime, Steve would always stand right next to me because he knew I'd say something to somebody, especially where he can't be. He grabbed me one night.
You know what you did, Rick? Once you're there, you just sort of take your tail and turn
that's
and walk
right.
them off.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
All right, buddy. You have a good day and watch all that college football, and you go over there and eat all that them vittles, doggone it. And I'll be eating that salad. But you just you keep going.
All right, guys. Thanks, Tom. Y'all have a good time.
You too,
all right.
Steve.
Take care, buddy.
We'll see you
Thanks,
soon,
Coach.
Buddy.
Always a pleasure to talk with Steve Mask right here on the Prep Sports Report. It is, again, 6A Region 1 week to week is an absolute dogfight for all of these teams, and you can't afford to look ahead as, again, his Saints go down 14-0, find a way to take the lead at halftime. But I tell you what, if St. Paul's offensive line continues to get into a groove, protects Jay Green, and opens up those holes for Jordan Ingram, Ingram. The defense is already pretty stingy, and so I'm looking for probably one of the best games in the state of Alabama to be played next week at St. Paul's.
Well, it'll be a heck of a football game because, Blunt, I'm going to tell you, they're pretty doggone salty. I can tell you that. I got to give an update on UMass Wright last night. Of course, UMass Wright really held off a late comeback from Andalusia, opened up Region 1 play with a 21-7 victory. And, of course, UMass did not play last week because Western High in Florida had to cancel due to travel concerns with Hurricane Dorian. UMass took an early 7-0 lead. Wasn't a whole lot of offense in the first half. And I'm sure Terry Mark, as well as we know him, he wasn't real happy with that first half and just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. But really everything happened in the fourth quarter. Andalusia had about an 75-80-yard scoring drive, and they tied the game up at 7-7. But then Edwin White took over. And Edwin White is a phenomenal athlete. He took the ensuing kickoff 95 yards. And that gave UMS the lead back with about about 3 minutes to play in the game. And not only did he have a big kickoff return, he also had an interception on defense. He rushed for 22 yards. He had out of the Wildcat formation, he threw a beautiful pass to one of the wide receivers, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think he even blocked a field goal, but boy, he had one heck of a football game. Now, I will tell you this, Andalusia, Trent has a really good running back, a young man by the name of Elijah McClain, had 194 yards, and I'm going to tell you, you don't see very many running backs against a Jay Cozio. Don Jennings very rarely had them. Jay Cozio just does not have them. Doesn't have 194 yards rushing against that Will Breland-led defense. And that was some kind of performance by that kid. 194 yards.
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see those two teams meet up again, either quarters of the semis later on in this year. I mean, I don't know, I'm going way out there down the road, but I think they played last year.
They did.
In the semis.
Played twice. Yeah, sure did.
And I think Andalusia is probably one of the best teams in the state right there behind UMS Wright.
Yeah. Well, UMS Wright goes to Ladd People Stadium Thursday night, and they'll play Williamson, and Andalusia, I think, plays Monroe County. So
that, now, is Williamson 2-0 or 3-0?
Williamson is 2-0. They are the real deal, and that's going to be a great matchup. And I'm excited to see great high school football matchups on Thursday and Friday.
Who did they play this week?
Clark County is who Williamson played. Yes, 6-0. So that was a big, big win.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Clark County is a team that is young.
Is that Stacy? Is that where Stacy is?
Yeah, Stacy Luker.
Stacy Luker.
They're kind of a young football team. Okay. I was talking to Stacy this summer, and they're a sophomore, junior kind of team.
Right.
Got a lot of good players in those classes. They are going to be a team to be reckoned with next year.
Well, let me tell you this, and I know you're talking, and Williams is good. I know they're good. I know they got plenty of speed, and that coach has done a fabulous job over there.
Absolutely.
Because they were down to like 20 players. So the job he's done is phenomenal. But let me tell you this, Terry Curtis, Jay Cozio, those guys, they will be ready to play because they're not happy with the way they played offensively, I can promise you. So it'll be a great game to see at Ladd People Stadium next Thursday night. Got a chance to listen to Todd Morris and Michael Knapp last night. Did a great job on UMS Wright Radio. It's always good listening to those guys. They do such a good job broadcasting our games there from UMS Wright. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, we'll stop. popping there. That's our boy Boskax. As a matter of fact, he's in Biloxi tonight,
Mark.
I wonder if I can get Diane out and go to see Boskax. Man, I can't miss that. That's, I mean, I'm going to be there. Why would I not be there?
I don't know.
It just doesn't make sense if he's in.
You ought to be there, Rick. I'm a little disappointed you don't already have tickets.
That's tough. That's tough, dog. That's really tough. No, I got to get there. So if you're in Biloxi, Gulfport area, you got tickets, give me a call. I'd be willing to buy them from you. 251-343-0106. Call the station if you got Boskax tickets. I mean, I'll swap out just about anything. Just about anything. So just give us a call. You know, it's Boskax, guys.
It is Boskax.
Guarantee you, Rico Jackson does not know who Boskax is.
He may not.
No, I don't think he does. I just don't think he does. He's done such a great job at Murphy in the first couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
That let's just ask him. Coach.
Yes.
You know who Boskax is?
I don't have a clue.
Dang, Rico.
Dang, man, we old, Rick.
Rico.
Rick, we just old, son. That's all there is to it.
Rico, when did you graduate from high school? You don't remember?
So, I don't put
answer.
That out there.
Great answer, Coach. Rico, great answer.
That's a good answer. Okay, but I want you to do me one favor. Do PSR, okay. Rick Cleveland, Mark Laster, 70 years of coaching, do us a favor. I want you to Google Boskax, and I want you to listen to just one of his songs.
Just one.
I will. This afternoon when I sit down and get settled and I get the kids settled, I'm going to do that.
Do that. And then the other one I want you to listen to, I want you to check out Steely Dan. Okay?
Okay.
Those two.
I'm an open-minded guy.
Okay.
I will.
I want you to try it.
That's and some then old I, school stuff
I
now,
tell you
Coach.
What, I bet you, Coach. I bet you when you want your kids to mellow out a little bit, you'll turn that music on in the weight room.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll definitely check it out.
All right, Coach. You got Rick Cleveland, Mark Laster, Corey LeBounty. We want to welcome you to PSR, and we're with you 52 weeks out of the year. Anytime you want to talk high school football, these are the three guys you want to talk to. We'll be glad to listen to you. But congratulations on the great opening of your season. We're mighty proud of you. And keep Murphy where Murphy belongs. They belong in the upper echelon of high school football.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. The kids have really worked hard, and it's just fruits of their labor. So we're going to keep working and continue to try to clean up some of those mistakes and always put a good product on the field.
Well, you put a great product on the field last night. It was a great finishing product. As you come from behind, I think you were trailing maybe 24-7 in the fourth quarter, Coach. Is that correct?
We were. I mean, it's just a testament to the kids. That one thing that we talked about last night, as a coaching staff, our kids have some fight in them, and that's half the battle. They want to compete, and they didn't give up, and they just kept fighting, and they kept believing. And if you can do that and execute, you know, good things are going to happen. So we're happy to get the win.
Without question. It was a 26-24 win on the road over Fairhope. And I want you to talk about a couple of players on your team, quarterback Alex Howell and Tanaka Scott. A great combination. I mean, they had a good game against McGill Toolin a couple of weeks ago in the Battle of the Cannon. And you really look at that combo really hooking up. There's some type of chemistry there that I think is going to take those guys pretty far together.
They played well. They played really well the second half. Tanaka made some big plays. Alex made some big throws. Adrian Milton also played well. But, man, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the defense. The defense kept us in the game. You know, everybody loves the offense and the scoring and the quarterback throwing the ball, which he did well in the second half. But the defense has been consistent for us all year long. And our D-line front has been really good. Linebacker play has been really good. Coach Stone, they do a phenomenal job with those guys. Coach Thomas does a phenomenal job with the offense. So, I mean, we are still young and inexperienced because we have a lot of kids that have not played. So we're learning them. They're learning, continue to learn us. It's still a process going on. So that's why we're so excited because we see the potential in the program.
Now you're talking about potential. Next week, another big 7A Region 1 matchup. You enjoy that win for 24 hours, and then you're traveling back on the road against Mary G. Montgomery. Talk to us about what it's going to take for the Murphy Panthers to continue to have that type of success and build off of the momentum that you established last night.
Man, Coach McCain has done a great job over there. From years past, they're
really much improved. They're well coached. They play hard. Their game versus Fairhope was a close game, actually, more close than the score indicated. But we're going to have to get refocused and cut down on turnovers and understand how to go into a game by being focused, doing my assignment, doing it as hard as I can do. So that's what we're going to really work on us this week, and I think that's going to be big for us in the future.
As you continued to work on you, Coach, you came in and you had an opportunity to be in the spring, be with your team in the spring, learn a lot about the Murphy culture, and you brought in starting this new season with brand new helmets, brand new uniforms. Do you think that type of swagger gives your kids that little extra motivation saying, hey, look, we look good, we play good as well?
Nah, not really. I mean, you got to go out there and produce. Those things, though, are – to me, a big part of changing the culture and the mindset, flushing the old, getting new. But at the end of the day, you have to go block, tackle, catch, execute. You got to go play football. So those things, I mean, the helmets and, you know, they don't win you any game. We have to execute and do what we're supposed to do. That wins you games. But it does help change the culture mindset of, all right, we're starting anew. And if we're starting anew, we have a fresh, clean slate.
Coach, we are so excited because Murphy is kind of – we're starting to hear good things out of Murphy, and, boy, you just had a great start to the season. Congratulations. We're excited for you. Now the only thing you got to do is get in some Boz Skaggs and some Steely Dan, and you are going to be cooking with grease, I promise you.
I will definitely listen this afternoon.
I got you, pal. Hey, look, take care. We're mighty excited for you and the kids at Murphy, and we'll talk to you down the line, I promise you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Coach. And I tell you what, you're not going to find a stronger advocate than his principal, Joe Toomey. Joe Toomey, he's just pro-Panther. I mean, he just bleeds that Panther blue and gold through and through, and he's a diehard football fan. But just listening and watching his tweets last night, the excitement, he said as an administrator, he's never seen a comeback win the way that his team and Murphy High School produced last night.
Let's give you some Mississippi scores real quick, okay? Oak Grove, 37. Gulfport, 13. Ocean Springs, 52. Moss Point, 26. Pass Christian, 39. Purvis, 36. Picayune, 63. Meridian, 7. Hancock, 28. Gaucher, 14. Bay High, 17. Forest County, 14. East Central, 56. Van Cleve, here we go. Steely Dan, Rico Jackson, here we go. East Central, 56. Van Cleve, 14. St. Martin, 40. St. Stanislaus, 20. Keep them going, Doc. Mandeville, 65, Poplarville 35. Let that music sing. I'm going to tell you, Alabama's the greatest thing in the world. Pearl River 42, Lawrence County 21, Resurrection 28, North Lake Christian 0, Long Beach 57, West Harrison 49, Clarkdale 32, St. Patrick 0, and Biloxi was off.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Okay, we got to get rid of the Susie Q. So, you know which way we can go on that. So, ain't no doubt about that.
Blue Oyster Cult. Yes, sir.
You and Corey's music is wrong.
No, Blue Oyster Cult.
I mean, Corey's got bands. He's got the Southern University band.
Yeah, we got to get some horns going.
Well,
man.
Horns are fine. Chicago.
No. Yeah. Halftime
no, no,
horns.
No. Chicago. They're too sweet. We need a bit. This is a football, sports, basketball, baseball. Let's get it on, kind of.
Like Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, but what is high school without the band? I don't care if you have a
Chicago,
band.
Chicago, man, that's horns. That's everything.
I'm but you got to have the snare and everything.
The only thing I don't want bands on the radio show is because on Friday nights, I hear them some.
Oh, yes,
in my ear.
Yes. What's Friday night football without the bands?
I love them. Now, don't get me wrong. I love bands on
you
Friday
better
night.
Say that.
That's why we got to bring that music to the Prep Sports Report.
I was telling them last night, our band came over after the game, and we got some hamburgers and some sausage dogs and ate with us.
Love now, yeah. I love it. I love
but
it.
But on
I love
Saturday
it.
Morning, I can still hear them horns blowing in my ear.
Well, and Mark, you know the bands work awfully hard. And
yes,
we got to keep
do.
Those mamas
yes,
and daddies happy
do.
Too. But I can tell you, at halftime, they need to be eating those ribs from Dreamland.
Well, that's
what they need to be.
But if they're going to start that, and I don't get any of it, I'm going to be a little upset.
Man alive. Wes Latham. Wes Latham's. Brady's. He loves those nachos. Let me tell you this. Wes has to take Brady down there to get nachos at least once a week. So I'm just telling you, if you hadn't tried the nachos.
Like there, father, like son.
That's right. Oh, wait a minute. Now, Wes is thinned up. He's
but
looking
Wes
good.
But Wes can pack away some nachos. I've seen him do it.
Okay.
Before.
All right. Well, he doesn't have a chance to defend himself. I'm going to have to give him that chance.
No, I don't want him to defend himself. I like it like this.
Margo, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Just getting in here, getting this pit tied up.
Man alive, you just don't.
Man, my mouth started watering right then.
Hey, you know what I've been doing? Now this is what I've been doing. I've been doing too much of this. That Brunswick stew.
Oh,
man alive. Vern away from it. Let Margo take it over.
I'm going to get me a big bucket that one Saturday and take it home with me when it starts getting cold.
Right.
You know, and have it at home and have it. We're watching football games, eating Brunswick stew. Margo, that's what I'd like to do.
Margo, can you get us a huge, I mean, just a bucket full of that Brunswick stew?
Of course.
That's what I'm talking about.
Brunswick stew.
Yes, sir.
Freshly made. That's why I mean, make it. We have to keep the employees out of it.
I can't wait to do that. You know, we were talking yesterday about a buddy of ours from up around Leroy, and he was in town yesterday, and I can just about tell you that Bobby Farish probably came by Dreamland yesterday and probably had a whole couple of slabs of ribs, because I'm telling you, when you're from out of town and you come into town, the only place you want to go is Dreamland. And you see it all the time, Margo.
Especially on Friday night when I'm visiting teams.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's right.
House packed.
Well, all right, Margo, tell us what's going on at Dreamland, then we got to get your picks, man.
Well, soon, October the 1st, we'll be starting out chilly. So, and it's always good, especially when it's cold. But, you know, we have the normal, the nachos, the quesadillas, and we also have the fried green tomatoes. So that's pretty much what's new to the menu. Because we had to take corn out, so you know what's going on with the corn. But the fried green tomatoes, they are for everyone to try.
I tell you what.
Next time you guys in here, give it a try.
I definitely will, Margo. And what we're going to try right now is to get your picks. Let's see how accurate you can be this week. We're going to go straight up picks. We got a wonderful matchup tonight. Texas A&M and Clemson, who do you have?
I'm going with Clemson. I'm going with Sunshine.
He's going with Sunshine and Clemson tonight. All right. We're going to look at the Texas-LSU matchup. First time these guys in the regular season, I think, in over 50 or 60 years. Who you going to roll with in that big matchup?
I'm going to go with LSU. I'm going to say it like I said it yesterday. I'm going with the Tigers.
You're going with the Tigers. A little Tigers. Ogeron in you. I hear you. Here's a great matchup that you're looking at Missouri trying to bounce back against West Virginia. I think this is going to be a great football game. Missouri and West Virginia.
Well, last week, Kelly Bryant put up some awesome numbers in the loss. And I think he's going to stay awesome, and I think they're going to get the win this week.
All righty. I like that prediction as well. And the last one is one South Alabama opens up at Ladd Peebles Stadium tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Jackson State is in town. Do you like the Jaguars or do you like the Sonic Boom Jackson State?
Well, I like the Jaguars. The Jaguars were good last week. If it wasn't for the offensive turnovers, we probably would have won that game. But at the same time, halftime probably going to be won by the Sonic Boom, but the game is going to be won by the Jaguars.
All right, I like that. So you have Clemson, LSU, Missouri, and South Alabama for Margo's mix-up in his picks, and we'll let you know here how you did next week. And always a pleasure. No better place on Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons throughout all the contests that are being played on Saturday than to go to Dreamland Barbecue and check out everything that's on the menu that you guys have to offer.
Hey, thank you guys, and ain't nothing like them nowhere.
That's right, baby.
Hey, let me tell you something. I dream about them. How about that? Hey, take care, Margo. We'll be by probably in the next month to get that big old tassel bowl of of man, I can't wait. Brunswick Stew. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
See you soon.
All right, buddy.
Wow. Man alive. That was, I apologize. I walked out. Bobby Farish called. Bobby's in he's in Daphne playing playing softball, grandchildren this morning, but he's also lights went out in Uniontown last night. And they didn't get home to about 2 o'clock. Did we give a Leroy score?
Yeah, Leroy won.
They beat RC Hatch 48-22. Man alive. Goodness gracious.
Well, when you look across the state, I mean, again, Adam Weingarten at Auburn. I don't know if there's a more overlooked team than the Auburn program and the wonderful job that he's done. It seems like every other year he's coming down to Mobile, Alabama, back to play the Fairhope Pirates, or the Pirates are going up there to play him. But he's done a wonderful job taking over that program, trying to get them over the hump. It's just so hard when you look at the Hoover and Thompsons of the world in that region, Central. Also, I just think that he's doing a good job, and it's a team that you really need to watch out for as the year progresses.
You know, one team I wanted to say a little something about that. I just caught the score late last night, and I saw the ending score this morning. But St. Michael's was 32-32 in the fourth quarter against Thomasville last night. And so Scott Phelps and his crew out there are working hard to make that football program better. They're very young. What is this, their second actual year of varsity competition in football? And, man, when I saw the score, I said, wow, kudos to them. And I think they ended up getting beat 47-32.
Yeah,
I think they ended up. But, I mean, that speaks highly of where that program's headed. So congratulations to Coach Phelps. I know a loss is never good, but still, you're getting better.
All right, so now, if you've got scores that you want to know about from around the state of Alabama, you can text us at 251-343-0106. We'll give any score that you want, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida. We got them all right here, and we got the best that there is right here on the board with Dalt. He can get you a score pretty doggone fast. A couple things I wanted to mention this morning, guys. Top 10 volleyball teams in the state of Alabama. The number 10 team is Providence Christian out of Dothan. They're 9-1. Thompson, 14-3. We're going to talk tomorrow. I think we got Mark coming on, don't we? Don't we have Mark Freeman coming on?
Yeah, he's scheduled to join us at 9:30.
Okay, so we'll have Mark Freeman on, but their volleyball team's 14-3. Chelsea, number 8, 15-1. At number 7, Ann Schilling. So this is all classifications. Ann Schilling, 12-3, Bayside. Number 6, Hoover, 10-3. Number 5, Mountain Brook, 14-5. Number 4, McGill Tulin, the Dirty Dozen, as they call themselves, 7-5. Number 3, Spanish Ford, 11-4. Number 2 is Hazel Green. Boy, they've got a heck of a program going up there in all of their women's sports. And their boys' sports, too. Hazel Green's an up-and-coming program. And the number 1 team in ladies' volleyball in the state of Alabama is Jasper High School, the old Walker County, as we know it more, 18-2. So, guys, do y'all know anything about yoga? Anything at all?
No.
Okay. It's relaxing.
It is relaxing. But did you know the state of Alabama has Joe Morton, a dear friend of this program and of ours here, former state superintendent of education, former superintendent of the Sylacauga City Schools, they made a ruling, and we'll talk about that ruling a little bit later about what they said about doing yoga in public schools. Kind of interesting. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, presented by Alpha, right here on Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Back in high school.
Okay, so last night, and welcome back to the second hour of PSR. Last night, this sports car comes blowing into the doggone main gate at UMS, and I mean, Chris and I are sitting there trying to take up money, and this guy just comes in. I'm talking about barreling in. Who is it? Nobody but David from CNC. I hope you made it home, buddy.
Of course I made it home. That was one sharp car, isn't it?
It's a little bit too slick for me, I'm telling you.
I'm not sure it's made for you, but
it won't fit me.
It's just for sale. 2005 Lexus SC430. It is like brand new.
I thought you said you had a financial investment in that.
It's still for sale. Well, I'll sell a microwave oven out of the office if I have to.
Good gracious alive. Man, you sell any... I'm telling you, I'm just... I know Charlie's got that ship running right if you'll sell the microwave out of the office. That's
something. I got a toaster oven, too. Kind of how you like your food cooked.
Tell us what's going on. Hey, let me tell you something. You need to go down to Dreamland and try some of that Brunswick stew.
I love their stew. I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, me too. And it's there permanently now.
I got to call my boy Laverne.
Now, Vern's not there now. Vern's in Tuskaloosa today watching New Mexico State.
So. He's on vacation. I know. He called me yesterday.
All right. Tell us what's going on there at CNC.
Well, I got a lot full of cars. Get you in them for relatively, even with bad credit, for under $1,500, I can have you riding today. I've got anything from $3,000 cars up to $70,000 cars. And anything you want in between, if I don't have what you want, within 6-7 days, I can have it sitting on the lot. It's just that simple.
All right, and tell us about financing. Financing has got to be good this time of year.
Our financing, well, we are the bank, and there's only one or two other car lots on the Gulf Coast that we do financing work for, and we're very limited in what we do for them. We save it all for our customers for the most part. So we can do a bankruptcy. We can do somebody who's just got divorced or the credit's gotten beat up. Or if you have great credit, we got some credit unions out there that we work with. So I can take care of anybody, no matter what your financial situation is.
I hear all the time people talking about 0% interest. Is there any of that? I mean, is that all about?
Only you can get that through the manufacturers, but I can get you down to 2.99 if you got good credit, and that's on a used car. That's hard to top.
All right, pal. Tell them how you can get in touch with you and how you can reach you.
We are at CNCFinancialAutoSales.com. You can come find us at 3150 Moffitt Road, which is right where we split with Spring Hill Avenue. Or it's easy enough to call us at 251-338-9019. And you just made me pass Greer's. I missed the Connecticut sausage. I got to turn around now.
All right. Turn around and go get some. We'll see you soon, pal. Take care.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Rick Cawley now joins us on the Prep Sports Report. They had a tough game, 7A Region 1 game last night with Baker. But, Coach Cawley, good morning, and thanks for joining us on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Coach, talk about the game last night against the Baker Hornets. I know it was very close at halftime, something I know you guys went in and talked about, it being close and looking at the scoreboard, knowing that you're within striking distance there. Tell everybody what happened in last night's game.
Well, we got off to another slow start. We turned the ball over a few times in the first quarter and gave them short fields, and they were up 19-0. And then we got a little spark. We climbed back in it and tied it up with a couple minutes to go before half. And they went down, scored with just a couple seconds left in the half. And, you know, that kind of took the wind out of our sails a little bit. And second half, you know, we start moving the ball and another turnover, and you know that led to points, and you know, you just can't turn it over five times against good teams in Region 1 and expect to win.
Talking to Rick Cawley, the head football coach at Davidson High School, you're talking about turnovers, Rick, and that is a nemesis for every football team at every level. When you look at it on the high school level, talk just a little bit about what you do to kind of to keep that situation from manifesting itself on a week-in, week-out basis, because you have five turnovers in week two, as we call it, and that's a week that, you know, as a football team, you hope that you get better, and when that happens, it's got to be a frustrating thing for a football coach, especially the head man, to deal with that. What direction you go in when something like that happens? And you got good players. You got a great coaching staff. It's just a situation of laying the ball on the ground or turning it over through the air. How do you correct that?
Well, I mean, you know, there was one. The first turnover was just being careless with the ball and got it, you know, yanked out of there. And you know, some of the other, we have a bust in pass protection, so we get blindsided. They get a scoop and score, and you know, some of the other ones, they're just snaps hitting the guards when they're pulling, and you know, it's just not attention to detail, and you know, all that falls on me. I thought we had a great week of preparation. The kids were
focused and doing everything we asked them to do. It just the results didn't meet what I thought was our preparation for one reason or another. We have a hard time getting up to start games, and then we got another slow start in the third quarter, and you just can't do that. We got to figure out what makes them go, because right now, you know, it's taking a big play somewhere to we're kind of in a wait and see, and then we'll play mode, and we can't do that.
I know a couple of weeks ago you had an opportunity to start your season in week zero at Thompson, and that was a tough loss, 40-14. But congratulations on getting that first win in week number one against Auburn Bryant, 24-6. And then last night you fell to the Baker Hornets. But looking forward to Friday night's matchup. It's an MCPSS television game that Al Whedon and myself will be covering at Ladd People Stadium. You're back at home taking on the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets, who are coming off of a bye week. Talk to us about that matchup.
Yeah, they're very good. Coach Hill does a great job there. They have a great coaching staff. They have really good players. Yeah, you know, they're going to be where they're supposed to be. Defensively, their technique is flawless. And, you know, McGill forever. If you turn the ball over, you make mistakes against them, they make you pay. And we got to get that stuff cleaned up. And I don't know, you know, we tried to simplify things for our kids. Maybe we need to simplify a little bit more, because we're still having a bunch of busts and things like that. Got to get it cleaned up when you're going to play McGill Tulane, because they will put it on you if you're not playing your best.
Well, I know that you'll get things turned around, and they'll be doing things the Warrior way, which is the Rick Cawley way, coming up against the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets this next Friday at Ladd People Stadium. Looking forward to covering your game, and wish the best of luck to you, Coach.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Hey, Rick, take care, buddy. Keep your head up. It gets better. It gets better. You keep doing what you do, pal. I mean that.
Thank you, Coach.
You take care, pal. We'll talk to you soon. I can tell you, that young guy is a good football coach, guys. And let me tell you, when two good football teams play, one's going to win, one's going to lose. And you just get back out there and you just refine what you're doing. You just keep repeating it. I don't have any doubt that Rick Cawley will get that situation right where it needs to be. Have no doubt at all about that young man.
I agree. I mean, you know, you take away the five turnovers, it's hard to win with one turnover, much less five at 7A Region 1 competition. And he'll have his players really zoomed in and focused this week, because they know the task that's at hand in McGill Tulane.
Well, and, you know, it's tough. I'm going to tell you right now, he started off with Thompson. Starts off with a dead-gum good football team. Then he gets a little break with Alma Bryant, plays Baker at a really good time. So, you know, and now he's got McGill Tulane next Friday night right here at Ladd. And, hey, I'm so glad you got Vic Knight on. I am so glad he's on with us, because I am so proud of the job that they've done there at Ladd. What a great, great, great adjustment they made last night. And I'm so proud and happy for Vic and the friends there. Good morning, Vic. How we doing, pal?
Guys, how are you doing?
We're good.
Buddy. Getting ready for a big football Saturday out here. It's actually, I'm in the press box as we speak, and looking down on a beautiful Ladd Stadium turf, ready to play some South Alabama football. So it looks like it's going to be a great day for that.
All right, Vic, let me tell you what we've got. We've only got about 30 seconds left in this. We want to hold you over until the next one. If you've got time, I know you're busy, but we're going to hold you over.
Yeah, you got me at a good time.
Good.
You know,
good. Sit down.
All the people start coming. So
well,
fine.
You just sit down in Mr. Slade's old chair there and just make yourself comfortable. we'll be right back with you in just a minute. Our buddy Vic Knight, let me tell you, you're talking about a man that has dedicated his life to doing for others. That's what Vic Knight's done. He's a friend of our show, friend of all of us here. We look forward to speaking to him in just a minute, right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to PSR. Let's go to Vic Knight real quick and Ladd Peoples. Vic, let's use this forum for you to kind of just let the public know what they can and cannot do as far as bringing in two Ladd Peoples today for the 6 o'clock kick with South and Jackson State.
Sure. Well, the big change that fans who have been coming to South Alabama games in recent years will be, they will be wanded by, with metal detectors upon entry. You know, South Alabama adopted a clear bag policy for their events a couple of years ago, and that is still in place. So people that have been coming to South are used to that part of it, but they will also be wanded as they enter. On the flip side, people coming to high school have to get adjusted to that clear bag policy, and that was the one thing that I saw last night, isn't it? You know, it's fairly easy to go through a metal detector, but the clear bag thing is a bigger adjustment for a lot of people, particularly women with purses and that type of thing. And that was the big change that I saw last night. But, you know, as we continue to go in events and fans become used to that as well, that would be a smoother transition as we continue to move forward with the changes that were in place, not only here but elsewhere throughout all Mobile County Public Schools last night.
And again, Thursday night, big game at Ladd Stadium. You have the UMS Wright Bulldogs taking on the Williamson Lions. Expected a big crowd for that, so want people to arrive early so they can go ahead and get through those security measures. And then a great game on Friday night with Davidson and McGill-Tulane.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. You know, we talked about this before. Once it gets going, it really gets rolling. And, you know, we've got the game today with South Alabama and Jackson State, and then three games next week because South Alabama's got a home game again next week. A big game against Memphis. So it's a full slate at the stadium. Looking forward to those two high school games. You know, I think we got the undefeated teams on Thursday and saw Williamson get one last night. It was not a pretty game. I was coached by any means, talking to Coach Sumter after the game. But, you know, in coaching world, you'll take a win when it's a win, and they were able to get out of it and come into that game. It sets up a really good showdown on Thursday with UMS Wright out here at the stadium.
Hey, Vic, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of a busy Saturday, and we are so thankful that that you guys have got everything under control there, and I hope everything goes great today and next week.
Appreciate it.
And we'll see you out there Thursday night, okay?
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you this week.
Yep.
And, yeah, everybody work together this week to make this thing better and safer for all, and it was pleased to see how it all came out last night and continue to build on that in the future. Look forward to seeing you this week.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Vic.
Knight.
You bet.
We appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate it, buddy. What a great job they've done there.
Without question. Yeah, I mean, you go from a tragedy that hit us all close to home, and just the security measures by the superintendent of the Mobile County Public School Systems, Kressel Threadgill, and the mayor making sure that safety is at paramount effort. And, you know, somebody, Mark Freeman, had a huge game last night against the Hoover Buccaneers, and joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report to talk about his Thompson Warriors' big win over the Hoover Bucks is Mark Freeman. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Corey. How you guys doing?
Good, Mark. Good.
Yeah, we're good, buddy. We're good. You better keep it going because your volleyball team's pretty doggone good too, pal. They're 14-3. They're supposed to be one of the top 10 volleyball teams in the state. You got to keep it going with them.
Man, we're just trying to keep our head above water. They do a great job. Judy and them do a great job in that volleyball. I enjoy watching them play.
Yeah, I hear you. What, 45-30? I'm telling you, you boys,
good win,
you're keeping your head above water. That's a great win.
Great win.
Can tell you that, pal. And you have really done a wonderful job there. You've assembled a fabulous staff. And the only thing y'all got to do is get some better facilities there. That's the only thing y'all got to do.
No, we blessed the facilities, but
I tell you what, Coach, that those facilities has definitely paid off.
Yeah,
that weight room. You know, when I follow you on Twitter, I see your guys working out at 5:30 and 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning prior to school even starting. And when you get the type of results that you see on Friday night, I think that just gets them to continue to buy in to the effort and hard work that you guys are putting in prior to school even starting.
Well, it is, and I think especially with today's kids, there's got to be a commitment, and my thing the Lord put on me in the offseason was, you know, there's got to be some self-rehabilitation with these kids. It's the days of running them and punishing them, and, you know, I think there's still an element of that, but with today's kids about coaching is learning how to handle these kids and their parents. And I think there's got to be some self-rehabilitation somewhere. And that's part of the process. And our kids love it. And they do it. And man, the Lord's really blessed us. And we got wonderful kids that do about whatever we ask them to do.
Mark, talk a little bit about Sawyer Pate. He's a kid that followed a pretty doggone good quarterback now, who's now on the field for the University of Alabama. But Sawyer Pate must be not a surprise. I'm sure he's a kid that you knew could play and just had to wait his turn.
You know, he was here when I first got here, and then Talia's parents brought him here. And, you know, Sawyer has been in that room for 3 years. He prepared as though he was going to start the state championship game last year. Talia was hurt, and now I guess everybody knows that. And we prepared all week for him to play. And got down there, and Doc and them said Leah could play long. We didn't do anything crazy with him, and really Sawyer should have played the game, man. But so he went through the mental part of thinking, man, I'm fixing to have to run this ship, you know. And then in the off season, he was a baseball player, Rick, and I played every sport in high school, and I fully 100% think kids ought to do that if they want to do that. But he came to me and wanted to quit. He knew the work ethic that Talia had, and that rubbed off on him, and he was able to get himself bigger in the offseason. And, you know, I didn't hardly sleep last night because I was just so proud for him. You know, he got hit in the mouth a couple times, and it was a growing-up spell for him. We down 17-0, and I know in his mind he's thinking, you know, it's my fault, and it was not his fault. And we just gathered it back and kept grinding, man, and we're really blessed with getting the win last night.
You know, this coming week, Coach, you got Oak Mountain coming up, and where do y'all play them, by the way?
At Oak Mountain,
and it looks like that program has improved a little bit from a couple of scores. It's hard for me to kind of keep up with them. It looks like their program is doing pretty well, and that all bets are going to be another big region game for y'all. So tell us a little bit about that game coming up.
Well, they always do a great job, and one of the main things that keeps them competitive is the coach runs a split back beard, triple option type offense. So it's like you're playing, you know, Army or somebody, and
yeah.
You got three. After you have to, and Rick will understand this, and you will too, Coach. You got to play you got to practice with your 1-0 line to get the speed of the game because they cut you. They do all that stuff that them triple option teams do. So we got to come out and get after it Monday, and unfortunately our one O-line is going to have to go a little bit more next week in practice.
Coach, big time win, and again, you're looking forward to playing Oak Mountain. How hard is it to get your kids to understand the 24-hour rule is in effect? Because anytime you're able to play and defeat a Hoover team like you did last night, you know the kids are kids. They're going to try to enjoy it. And you, as coaches, I know you guys do a wonderful job of getting them refocused, but you go from that highest to highs, and sometimes you look ahead to the next opponent, and that becomes that trap game.
It can, and you know, you hope it don't. And our guys understand that we honestly every day is a new day, and every play is a new play. And I, you know, our kids know me well enough that if I go out there and throw fits Monday about some fictitious thing, they know I'm trying to get their mindset. And so, I don't think that's the element to use anymore. I think you just be real with them, and they make them understand. You know, every game matters, and the Hoover game last night didn't mean any more prior to playing that game than Old Mountain next week does. It really does not matter. That region, you got to be prepared every week to play, and fortunately, we got that first region win, and now we got another team that we got to get ready for.
You know, Mark, and when you say that, though, the thing about this is, you know, you're going to play Hoover again. I mean, you just know it, and so. Obviously, as you go in and as you game plan, there's things that you don't do, and that you that's just the way it is. Because when you play in the region that you play in, you know you're going. These two teams know that there's something that we're going to see the next time we play them that we didn't see the first time. So
well,
you know that's kind of the way it is now.
Well, yeah, and you have to do it, Rick, because we played them last year. In this region, this the last 3 years, that's the way it's worked out. They
right.
got one during the season, got beat. But
yeah.
we went in last year. We threw for 500-something yards on them the first time last year. And we went in last year in the semifinals, and you'd have been proud. We ran Buck Sweep, I guess, 16 times out of on balance, Rick, just to try to find a way to win if they weren't prepared for it.
Right.
It helped us you know, it helps us win the game.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you got to do, and you're 100% right that we had some stuff we were going to do last night, and we didn't. We didn't, and so maybe that can be something we carry over if we see them again, you know.
Well, you can bet Josh is in the same boat. I can promise you Josh Niblett didn't do some things last night that you'll see when you play them again. And that's going to be in the semifinals.
When the big tears come out, man. That's when the big tears come out.
That's exactly
right. That's right.
Mark, I'm telling you, we're mighty happy for you. I know you play in a tough region. It doesn't get any easier week after week after week after week. But the amazing thing about this is, guys, people, you don't know this. Before Mark got there, I think they had won three games.
They had not won a game. Yeah, I think they were winless.
Yeah.
And Coach, I just wanted to let you know, man, you got some Thompson gear floating around
the studio.
So it's floating around Mobile, Alabama, Coach. So you're represented very well. I just want to let you know that, Coach.
Absolutely.
Hey, I want to tell Rick, Coach, man, I got him and another friend of mine down there hitting me up. They wear our stuff. I get it. Both of them done dropped about 100 pounds. I can't even recognize who they are when I see them. So maybe, Rick, y'all, I promise you, y'all let me know who will wear that Warrior stuff around down there. I'll send all you need.
Well, Corey LeBounty is he's a model. So, but you know, Mark.
I'm proud of Corey, man.
There you go. Yeah, well, he's done giving it to the phone caller guy in the studio.
Down to that large. It looks good, though, Coach. It looks real good.
I'm going to get you some more, Corey, and you tell Rick, tell all them dudes, man, I promise you, I'll find it somewhere. I'll send you guys some Warrior stuff if you'll wear it around.
Well, I ain't going to tell you. You know I ain't going to wear something
Thompson
around with UMS. They'll call me in tomorrow and say, Rick.
That's what I want them to do. I want them to ride.
Hey, take care. Good luck, pal.
Good luck, buddy.
God bless you. Keep spreading the gospel,
God bless
buddy.
Y'all, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks. We'll see you soon. Corey, you ought to be ashamed.
I love Coach Freeman. That's my guy, man.
Right, yeah. Well, hold on. Did Future Ones make those shirts?
No, they did not. But that's my guy.
Yeah,
that's my guy. I still love Coach Freeman, man.
Hey,
that's
Gus,
my brother in Christ. I love my brother.
Let's let Gus and Trent and them know Corey's spreading stuff that ain't Future One.
<Uh-oh>. It's all good.
We'll be back with more in the face. Say, hey, you don't want to miss this. Yeah, I promise you this is something you'll want to hear today. We'll be back.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rappahoke, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. This week I've been really trying to look through some scripture that is pertinent to my life. And then we had some things happen around our area, and all of this just came together. So I hope you will get as much out of what I'm about to say as I've gotten out of learning these things. I took Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, and it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." So here goes. I want to dwell on those things. I think I've learned this growing up the way I grew up, in a great little town of Sylacauga, Alabama, and then working in some great places with some amazing people. You know, it takes more backbone to forgive than to fight, and it takes more effort and courage to walk away than to take that swing. I've also learned that most of the fights worth fighting are meant to protect someone who cannot protect themselves. Fights over your own pride are nothing but vanity. It's a sign of insecurity rather than strength. An unfair fight is not a fight at all. It is nothing but a shame. It is really no fun to win when the playing field is tilted in your favor. To pick on people weaker than you or in a position beneath you makes you a bully. I want to read that again. To pick on people weaker than you or in a position beneath you makes you a bully. And bullies are created by their own fear and weakness. And bullies must always get what is coming to them. Truth is sacred, and honesty is the first measure of any person. Your word is the best part of you. and you will never be better than your word is. I've learned that God is love, that Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. When you cheat to win, you're nothing but a cheater, no matter what the score. When you give it all you have and you lose anyway, and this happens, you can be just as proud as the other guy because you did exactly what you could do. You gave every bit of who you are and what you have to give. I've also learned that making fun of the way people look makes you uglier than they will ever be. I've also learned that laughing at the things people can't help is petty, is mean, and it unfortunately is common in our world today. That preserving the wonder of the earth and its life is holy, and neglecting it is heretical. I've also learned that guns are tools, they're not toys. That pulling a weapon at a fistfight is a shameful act of cowardice and a betrayal of a timeless code. I also learned that greed is a deadly sin, that sharing is righteous. Also, that there is more to learn from our differences than there is to fear. That we can only learn new things when we hear those with a different view. I want to say that again. That we can only learn new things when we hear and we listen to those with a different view. I've also learned in my long and wonderful life that you have to be comfortable with yourself in order to be comfortable with other people. You have to be comfortable with yourself in order to be comfortable with other people. I also learned that it is important to know someone's story if you really want to know them. Also, that wanting to know other people is the key to empathy. That empathy actually makes a better world. Also, that preying on the weakness of others is a despicable act. We've also learned that enriching yourself on the less fortunate is villainous. Also, we've learned that attempting to rationalize evil gets you absolutely nowhere and usually creates evil when you're trying to delete it. Also, that if we are willing to give the shirt off of our back only to people who have shirts, we really don't do much giving. And finally, that we should be most demanding of ourselves. You know, guys, maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I'm just naive. Maybe, though, I simply refuse to give up hope.
That's powerful stuff, Rick. It's powerful stuff. And it, to me, as I hear you go through all those different thoughts and scenarios and happenings, something that keeps ringing in my ears is a verse that is told to us in the Bible that says, love one another.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any simpler than that. Because if you do, you don't do all these things that you see. You don't have hate in our world that we see today. You don't have people bullying people on social media. You don't have little children committing suicide because being bullied on social media and in their schools. You don't have these things. You don't have children running around with guns in their hands. You don't have these things. We have these things because there is a lack of love in this country and in this world, not just this country. There is a lack of love, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean, you know, when you talk about love and loving one another, you know, you hear all, you know, us being football coaches and men, you know, men's men and all that kind of stuff. You know, at the end of the day, that doesn't make a hill of beans. What makes a hill of beans is what I can do for somebody else to make their life a little better today. And if I do that, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. And if I haven't, then I got to do a better job the next day. That's it. And man, Rick, that stuff is powerful. What you're talking about right there is, and all, it's all true. And, gosh, we need more of that. We got to hear more. Our kids need to hear this every day.
That's stuff that I want to teach to my children at UMS Wright. And try to do that every day, Mark. And that's stuff that we put down on paper. And I've got you and Corey a copy of that. I gave Dalt a copy of that. But those are things that I think are that's the things we've learned. Maybe you can say I kind of titled it "Things I Learned Growing Up in the South." And that's something that's important. And you know, it's of course we get all that stuff from other people, but it was sure pertinent in my life.
Me too.
And
yes, sir.
It's just good stuff. You know, I want to thank you for being a part of our show this morning. 52 weeks out of the year, we're talking high school sports. Remember to pray for those who are sick. Let's pray for those who can't help themselves and they need us to help them just to get through the day. Just think about this. There's somebody right next to you that's probably hurting. And do all you can to make their day better. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. For Mark, for Corey, for Dalton, for Philip, may God bless you. Have a sunny day. And we'll see you right here, same place, same time, next week on PSR and Radio Alabama.